Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So spiritual gifts, I always say that if you're just now joining us on this sermon series, please, you can go to our church website, purposechurchde.org. And if you go to the sermon tab, you can get caught up. Or also, you can go to our YouTube page where we've been doing Bible study dealing with spiritual gifts as well. And everything is Purpose Church, D-E, D-E as the abbreviation for Delaware. So please, after you listen to this message, or if you want to pause this message, go back and listen to the sermon series so that you can get caught up. So here are a few scriptures, really, which is the background of this area of spiritual gifts that we're talking about. And so we're not going to have the opportunity now to really go through all of these different scriptures. So I wanted to share those with you. So we're looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. And in fact, in our sermon series, we even talked about verse 1 and 2 a little bit as well. Today, we'll talk a little bit about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, kind of around verse 5 or 6, and then go on to about verse 10. But you can see 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. And then in that same book, it jumps down to verses 28 through 30. One of my favorite ones, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 11, really where it's talking about what some may call the fivefold ministry, but please take a look at that. And then finally, there's a small portion in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So again, those are your study scriptures. We won't get a chance to go through all of those, but please take a look at those scriptures. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into this. So excited about this message. So I usually come from the Amplified Bible, but we're looking at the New King James Version in this here. So there are diversity of gifts. And in these different verses, in parentheses, you're going to see different words. Those are the Greek words for whatever we're looking at. So the Greek word for gifts in this text is charisma. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, diakonia, where within our church setting we get the word deacon, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, and the Greek word here is enerheo, but it is the same God who works all in all. So look at this here, if you follow me with this here. So it is the Holy Spirit that gives gifts, right? But it is the Lord, right? Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But ministries come from our Lord, but we're also ministering really unto Him. So whatever it is that we are doing, we have to remember that our ministry is unto the Lord. But then verse 6 talks about, and there's diversity of activities or operations. But guess what? All of that comes from God who works all in all. And so regardless of what we're doing, whether we're flowing in our spiritual gifts, whether it is that we are doing ministry, everything comes from God. I like this little quote here. It says, our gifts flow through our ministries to serve our God. And so many times, let's just talk about in the church context. So many times we get involved in different ministries, but sometimes when we're involved in these different ministries, we almost shut down the work of the Holy Spirit. We get so comfortable in doing ministry. Maybe you're working as part of our praise team. Maybe you're working in children's ministry. Maybe you're working in media ministry, but the Holy Spirit wants to flow through us in this area of spiritual gifts, even in our ministry area. And so what ministry area has God called you to? And if that's the case and you're aware of it, are we allowing spiritual gifts to flow through those different ministry areas? And so you may say to me, you say, well, Pastor Will, I don't have a ministry. Well, I'm so glad that you said that. Let me introduce you to our actual ministry that Jesus Christ has given each and every one of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 19, it says this. It says, now all things are of God. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, right? So when we give our life to Christ, we are reconnected, or we are brought back into fellowship to God, with God. We are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And not only, this is, you've got to listen to this part, not only are we reconciled, but he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So look, God has brought us back into relationship with him. And then he says, hey, and the ministry that I've given you is to reach other people so that they can be brought back into relationship with me as well. Verse 19 says this, that is that God was in Christ. Now, this is for all the people that don't believe that God and Jesus is the same, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So not just a particular group of people, but come on, John 3:16, for God so loved what? The world. Not imputing their trespasses to them. So not condemning and not beating us down, right? Because we're put in right standing with God when we give our life to Jesus Christ. And again, and has committed to us the word or the message of reconciliation. Guess what? If you're listening to me right now, you are a preacher of the message of reconciliation to those who don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so if you say, well, I don't know what my ministry is. I don't know what the Lord has called me to do. He has just introduced it to each and every one of us. The first and primary ministry that we have is the ministry of reconciliation, that God, through our lives, is using us to bring people into relationship with him the same way that he brought us into relationship with him as well. If there were people here, I would say amen, and people would respond with a hearty amen. So how does God, here's a question for you to think about. How does God want to preach through you if he has given to us the message or the word of reconciliation? How does that translate through your ministry? How does that translate through your life? How does that translate when the Holy Spirit is moving through you through spiritual gifts? How does God want to preach through you to someone else? And again, sometimes we discount ourselves and says, you know, well, I'm not a preacher. We just read the text that we have been given the message, the logos, the word of reconciliation. That means that we are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with different people. And the Holy Spirit will move through us in a diverse type of ways to be able to do that. Amen. And so let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we begin to start walking through these areas of spiritual gifts. So it says this in verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is given to each one for the profit of all. So God wants to move through our life by his Holy Spirit for, another verse says, for the common, or translation says, for the common good. In other words, God wants to profit all. It's not just about, oh man, I wish I had the gift of healing, because that seems like a popular thing to have, or I wish I had the gift of prophecy, because that seems like a very dynamic gift to have. God is saying, am I able to flow through you in any way that I want to for the profit of all, for the advancement of my kingdom? Verse 8 says this. It says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So let's begin to break these down finally. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, and we've been leading up to it, and now we're at the point where we're starting to break it down. So this word of wisdom, so spiritual gift of the word of wisdom, it means bringing clarity or making things clear. So if God is flowing through you in this spiritual gifts, that means that it gives you the ability to speak, listen to this, a timely message. That means that right in the midst of whatever it is, conversation, situation, circumstance that's going on, that the Holy Spirit, because God is all-knowing, comes and shares through the believer, through spiritual gifts, a timely message. It is the application of truth in complex situations. So an example is maybe there's a conversation that's happening. I remember King Solomon had to make a decision. If you guys remember that, one woman was saying, hey, this is my baby. The other woman was saying, no, this is my baby. And that wisdom came upon him. And even that was Old Testament. So that wisdom came upon him. That wisdom in the Old Testament, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit came upon rather than through. And he had to make a decision, a timely decision in the midst of that circumstance. So complex situations, the way that I see it is almost as if in the mind of a person or in a situation or a circumstance, things are very complex. They're very bound together and it's hard to see clear. But that word of wisdom will come through a person by the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak a message in a timely message. I love this part. It's complementing knowledge with God's direction. So this is not just me sharing a word of knowledge and the person says, all right, thank you. The end result is that I am transferring or translating in this complex situation the direction of God. I'll say this, with any of these spiritual gifts, it is always about the advancement of God's kingdom. It is always about the edification of the body of Christ. It is always about someone getting closer to God. Again, it's not about, oh, wow, that was just such a complex or deep word that you just shared. No, it is, wow, God, thank you so much for revealing to me something that I did not know. No. God's direction spoken in a complex situation. Please remember this as we're sharing all these spiritual gifts. This is the Holy Spirit deciding to use a believer of Jesus Christ in a time, in a moment, right? Coming through and us realizing that this is not me. This is God actually speaking through me. So the next one dealing with this word of knowledge. So again, Holy Spirit directed insight. So here it is. This goes beyond natural knowledge. This word also in the Greek, if you look in some situations, it deals with experiential knowledge. It deals with, hey, I've been close to a circumstance, and because of that circumstance, I know some things. But this word of knowledge given by the Holy Spirit goes beyond our natural understanding. It is the Holy Spirit through a person, through a believer of Christ, that is given, if you look at that word insight into this situation, I'm able to see. And also, I love the second line where it says, it can diagnose hidden issues. Please, I just want to stop right there for a moment. Hidden issues. So that means, I think of this in a counseling session a lot of times, that there is something that a person is not sharing. There's something that they're trying to hide, but God wants to get that person to be closer to him. So therefore, the person that is talking to them, that by the move of the Holy Spirit, is able to bring out something that the other person is hiding. Or think of this. Maybe it's something that I forgot about, but because God is all knowing, he brings that to the surface. But listen, it's not just so that the person can go about saying, wow, I'm so glad that you shared that deep insight with me. It is, wow, thank you for sharing that deep insight. I feel more connected with God. That is the hope. And that is the reason why the Holy Spirit is using believers of Christ to share these spiritual gifts through. So can diagnose hidden issues or, listen to this, clarify doctrine. What is doctrine? It's what we believe. It's the truths that we've held on to. So let's just say that a person has a certain belief of Jesus Christ. Let's just say that they have a certain belief about God. Maybe it was something that they grew up in. Maybe there was something that they experienced and they begin to just close their mind to it. And now a believer is speaking to that person and the Holy Spirit comes and speaks through the believer to correct or clarify what that person actually believes. Why? So that that person can get a closer relationship with God. This is the reason why, though I love the word grace, it deals with God leaning right towards a person, his favor to bless them. And sometimes we get so used to being, if you can see it this way, leaning towards a certain spiritual gift in our life, that we tend to almost close off God moving through us in other areas. But let's just say on your job, in your school, in your community, there's someone that you're working with, and you know that the doctrine, the belief that they are holding on to is not clear. And God, I put it this way, kind of taps you on the shoulder by his Holy Spirit and says, share this with them. And you're looking like, whoa, where did that come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. And you share it. Listen to this. And it will begin to open up the doors for more conversation of possible discipleship in the life of a person. But listen, if we're always just talking what we know here, sometimes we're not able to get to the hidden issues or the unclear doctrine that people, beliefs that people are following. Do you know how many people are following things that they think is right, but is not? And God is trying to reveal truth, the truth to them. And who is he going to use to reveal it through? His body, the body of Jesus Christ. Word of knowledge, and I believe for every one of these spiritual gifts, listen, it's always about serving other people. We serve God, we honor God with our gifts, but it's not about serving us, right? Could you imagine, just prophesying to yourself or just laying hands on yourself all the time and word of knowledge to yourself and say, wow, that was good and everything. It's always about serving someone else. God is trying to reach someone else, and he wants to use you through his Holy Spirit to be able to do it so. Word of knowledge, remain under the authority of Scripture. Please hear me when I say this. So that means I need to know some word. I need to know the word of God. Listen, please hear this. Because a lot of times God will share a word of knowledge through his Holy Spirit. And then the discipleship process of helping that person you're talking to grow needs to connect to the word of God, the written word of God. And so God, we use different terms. God will share a rhema word, which is direct revelation through his Holy Spirit. But he want to connect it to a logos word, which is his written word, so that that person can walk away and have some scripture to go along with it. This is the reason why I share this. Boy, I gotta keep moving through this part where a lot of people are coming. They love people to prophesy to them and speak to them this deep revelation and everything as well. But listen, if you don't have the substance of the word of God in you, then you'll walk around empty. And every time somebody says something that sounds like really good and from heaven and all of that, you'll go off on that. But the reality is that you need the substance of God's word, the Bible, the scripture, to keep you weighed down in a good way so that you are not blown tossed by every wind of doctrine. And that's what we're finding the body of Christ at times getting caught up in. It sounds good, but we don't have enough substance to depend upon. And that's the reason why it says we must remain under the authority of Scripture, I believe, whenever we're flowing in these spiritual gifts. Word of knowledge, we know what we know by and through the Holy Spirit. I want to share this example when we're talking about word of knowledge. You're familiar with the story when Jesus comes and he meets the woman from Samaria. Listen to this very quickly. In John chapter 4, verse 19, we'll start at verse 19 here. And the woman comes. Remember, meeting the woman at the well, if you remember the story. The woman said to Jesus, after they didn't kind of talk, and Jesus shared some revelation with her, she says, listen to these words, "Sir, I perceive," right? Knowledge. "I perceive that you are a prophet." Why does she come to that understanding? Remember I said knowledge, from a lot of scripture perspectives, deal with experience. So because she has spent time with Jesus, he shares some things with her, she came to this understanding that this man must be a prophet. She goes on and says, listen, this is all head knowledge. "Our fathers worship on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know," knowledge, natural knowledge. "We worship what we know what we worship." So he's even talking about the Jews. We know what we worship. And then he says, "For salvation is of the Jews." Here it is, word of knowledge. "But the hour is coming, and now is," so he's speaking it right now, "when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Here it is, word of knowledge. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what was he doing in this situation? Not so much hidden issues, because she was, the hidden issues that she was sharing was dealing with husbands and all of that, but Jesus was clarifying doctrine. He was saying, yes, I know, according to the old covenant and everything, y'all worship here and the Jews worship in Jerusalem. But he says, hold on, but let me bring some clarity to what you believe. He says, the hour is coming. And he says, actually, is now is. Why is he saying that? Because I am standing right in front of you. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So that is an example of her, what she believed was what she was taught. And it makes sense what she was taught. But God, Jesus was coming and saying, hey, let me correct you, because now's the time when it's not about physical location where you worship. We must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings," with an S, "by the same Spirit." Listen to this. Break this down. The difference between faith and belief. Faith and belief are not exactly the same. This type of faith, we call it the God kind of faith, always comes from God. Listen, if God is leading you to do something, he has given you the confidence, the ability, the trust to him to be able to do it. It involves God's revelation, right? Faith goes beyond belief. So somebody can say, I believe God. Okay, well, faith without works is dead. Are we moving in faith or do we just believe? If not careful, our belief will cause us just to stand still. But when we receive the one definition of this word faith is divine persuasion. It is God encouraging us to do what he desires for us to do. Please listen to me. If you are listening to this and you're believing and saying, God, I believe that you want me to do something, receive God's faith, receive the God kind of faith, be prompted like Abraham. It says that Abraham was prompted on by faith. I feel like that's almost like faith constantly nudging him forward to lay hold of the promise. Please do not just believe and then try to do it in your own works. Receive the faith, the confidence that God has available for you to be able to do the work that he has called you to do. Now, when we're looking at 1 Corinthians 12:9, when we talk about the gift of faith, they're talking about the gift of the Spirit, this is goes a little bit beyond the faith that God gives us to do certain things. While every believer has faith, the spiritual gift of faith gives extraordinary confidence to carry out God's will. Faith gives us, listen to this, faith gives us confidence to carry out God's will. The spiritual gift of faith gives us extraordinary confidence to carry out God's will. Let's look at an example, even though this is in the Old Testament. Have you ever heard of David and Goliath? Let's look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, he's talking to Goliath. He says, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin." He says, but listen to this language, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Verse 46, he says, come on, this takes some extraordinary faith to be standing in front of a giant and speak this. He says, "This day." I mean, listen, can we just stop right there for a moment? Where did David get the confidence to even go to the front lines? So I believe that it was David's faith in God that moved him to a certain point. But as he stood in front of Goliath, it was this extraordinary confidence that would cause him to speak this. But where was he getting these words? I believe that by God's inspiration. And I know David go back and said, "I took down a lion and I took down a bear," and all of those different things. Those are experiential things, but the gift of faith takes you beyond that and calls you to speak to things that you've never come up against before. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." He says, "And I will strike you and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all," listen to this, "all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." So remember, all of these different spiritual gifts, I know we're looking at the Old Testament, but receive this. All of these different spiritual gifts is about my confidence in God, and it's pointing people back to God. He's saying, "Goliath, I'm not just looking to take you out just to say I'm famous, but I need people to know that there is a God in Israel." It says, "Then all the assembly," he says, "all the assembly, everybody that's gathered here, shall know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear." We use this quote a lot. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." That is extraordinary faith. So the latter part of this verse, read this again, verse 9. "To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit." So when we're looking at this area of gifts of healings, please note that this deals with physical restoration that is granted by God. This means that the Holy Spirit is moving through the life of a believer, and that believer has the ability at that appointed time to lay hands on whoever is dealing with some type of illness or sickness, and they shall be recovered by the power of the Holy Spirit. This does not deal with or include emotional and spiritual healing. This gift of healing is dealing with physical restoration. Listen to this. The gift does not make a permanent healer. Now, I'm not talking about the person being healed. So the person being healed, God has healed them. What I'm talking about is the person that God is using. It does not necessarily make that person a permanent person that God will use to heal people. Y'all following me there? So a lot of times we got to be careful. It's like this spiritual gift of healing moves through a person, and God uses the person once, uses the person twice, uses the person three times, and all of a sudden I have a healing ministry. Well, what if God wants to use me for a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or the area of prophecy, and I'm shutting down those areas because I believe that the Lord has given me this permanent ministry called healing. God has the right to use us however he wants to. So if he decides, yes, that's the ministry, I want to flow through that person because of the time and the place that they're in. But listen, listen, it is always about people being connected and having a deeper relationship with God and not the person that God is using. Amen. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, employs people at different times. So verse 10, we're not going to get through all of verse 10, and this is where we'll stop. And you can join us for Bible study on Monday nights at 7 p.m. via Zoom to get the rest of it. But we'll talk about just a few of these. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So here's the one that we'll stop with today. And it's this area of working of miracles. So first, this word working, it is God's energy. It's the word that we looked at in the beginning, the activity. It was verse 6 that we looked at, the activity or the operation. So again, it means that God is working because we believe and trust him to be working. Miracles are meant to build up or edify the body of Christ and advance the mission. So again, listen, this is not just about I'm working miracles and this is just this wonderful fancy thing. No, it is meant, imagine that there is something that God wants to do through the body of Christ. Listen to this. And there's some type of, I'll just use this example, demonic activity that is trying to stop the body of Christ from advancing the mission of God, and God brings a miracle so that we can move forward and do the work that he has called us to do. This word miracles is that word dunamis, right? So if you ever heard that, you hear people talking about dunamis, the dunamis power of God. That's the Greek word for that. But it deals with power and strength and ability and might, but also miracle. So this is God's power, his ability, his strength, his might through his people to build his church, the universal church, the body of Christ, and to advance his kingdom. Just think about that for a moment. This is probably one of the most dynamic, and that's where that word dunamis, so you can get the word dynamic out of it. It's God moving through his people to advance his kingdom. Listen. So that means that regardless of what, remember, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, right? So whatever may be trying to stop God's kingdom from advancing and moving forward, God may use people through this gifts or the working of miracles to advance his kingdom. So let's look at an example and we'll wrap it up here. So we're reminded of this when Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's about to ascend to the Father. This is after the resurrection. And he reminds them, and I underlined and bold the word power in here to say that it's the same word of the word miracles, dunamis. But he says to them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. I wanted to drop this in here because if you are listening and you're a believer of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, you have the power for God to use you in this way to advance his kingdom. Sometimes we think that miracles are meant for special places or special people in special places and all of that. But God may want to flow through you by his Spirit to advance his kingdom in the area of working of miracles. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. Familiar story. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. And then, who seeing Peter, so the man sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Please catch this part. Natural situation, normal activity, and fixing his eyes on him. Who are we talking about? With John, Peter, and said, so Peter is about to walk into the temple, but all of a sudden, right? So this man is asking for alms like he probably did all the time when they were walking into the temple. But for some reason, this time, Peter fixes his eyes on this man. Who do you think prompted Peter to perceive where this man was? Listen, this is beyond just, oh, I see him. Oh, I see this man all the time. Or these people all the time that's outside the temple asking for gifts and asking for donations, asking for money, right? Alms. But for some reason, this time, Peter fixes his eyes on him, right? It's this prompted, attentive look. It's almost the same as when Jesus would be walking and someone would be lame on a side or blind or they couldn't get in the pool, or, and Jesus fixes his eyes on that person. And Peter says this to the man, look, look at us. It's almost like, pay attention to what I'm about to say. So Peter gave, or the man gave his attention to Peter and John, expecting to receive from them, right? So Peter's like, look at me. I'm paraphrasing. Look at me. But Peter is doing this because he's prompted by the Holy Spirit. So the person naturally responds because he has a need. I hope you guys are following me and seeing how God can move through our lives and conversations with people. Then Peter is saying, ha-ha, got your attention. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Listen, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Listen to this. So Peter received the gift of healing, and he gave it to the man. Oh, boy. It's always about serving others. So even if it was prophecy, the gift of prophecy, if it was the word of knowledge, if it was the word of wisdom, whatever it was, Peter receives it from the Holy Spirit, realizes that God wants to do something for someone. Then he says, hey, look at me, gets the person's attention. The person says, yes, I'm about to get something naturally. Peter, by the move of the Holy Spirit, goes beyond the natural need and says that I have something, paraphrasing, I have something that God wants to give you. And he gives him healing. Praise God. Verse 7 says this, and he took him by the right hand, Peter taking the man by the right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately, y'all, immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Please catch this next part. So the man is healed. Look at the next part. So he, the man, leaping, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, with Peter and John, walking and leaping and praising God. We miss that part a lot. So there is this man that needs to be healed by God. And there are these men that are walking, doing their normal things, just on their way. In today's time, we'll say we're on our way to church. And they probably know this man. But this time, as they are walking into the temple, the Holy Spirit prompts Peter that there's someone whose life I want you to touch. And Peter gets it. And then he talks to the man. The man wants something. Peter says, nope, that's not what I'm here to give you. I'm here to give you something that God just gave me. He takes his hand. The man gets up. He is healed, right? The gift of healing. Now, please hear this. The man that was not going into the temple is now going into the temple. Praise God. The end result is always people getting closer to God. these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, the move of God, the area of healing. It is to get people closer to God. And not only did he walk in the temple by himself, he went in there with Peter and John. So now he's like, I'm hanging out with them and everything as well. Praise God. And then the last part of this verse says this. Here it is, the witness. And all the people, verse 9 and 10, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Praise God. Here's the question. How does God want to use us to bring forth his kingdom, to advance his kingdom, to bring someone closer to him? And he wants to flow through our ministries. Remember the first one, ministry of reconciliation. We're all called to be the body of Christ, bringing people back into relationship with God. But then there's these unique ministries that God may move in your life with. But please remember this, whatever we are doing, please hear this, whatever area, be open for the Holy Spirit to move through your life in any way that he wants to. And this example that we just read is amazing. Our gifts flow through our ministries to serve our God. Here's a question. How does God want to flow through you today? And so even as we go through the rest of this day, as we go through the rest of this week, my prayer is that we will posture ourselves as believers of Jesus Christ to say, God, you know what? I know sometimes I'm a little nervous about certain areas that I'm unfamiliar with, but I trust your power, dunamis, to flow through my life. And the end result, God, is that all you're doing, you want to advance your kingdom. You want to bring someone closer to you that may not be as close.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.